Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for the beauty of today. Father, we couldn't have asked for a more beautiful day to come into the house of the Lord and to sing your praises, to grow in our spiritual, physical, and mental maturity with you, God. There is nothing greater than to have opportunity to learn more about you, who you are, and your ways, because I know that I know that I know that your ways have got to be higher than my ways, and your thoughts have got to be higher than my thoughts, Lord. Because it seems like when I choose to do my own will, I end up in a pit. But when I choose to do the will of my Father, it leads me to a life of everlasting resurrection power. I thank you for life. I thank you for life in abundancy this morning. And it can only be obtained through you and through what you did on the cross so many years ago. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the grace of God. Thank you that your grace is strength in my weakness. For in my weakness, God, I can do nothing, but in your strength, I can accomplish the will of the Lord. I can do the things that you have set before me, God. I can be the mother you've called me to be. I can be the wife that you have called me to be. I can be the woman of God that you have called me to be. I can be the person at the job that you have called me to be because of your grace, because of your strength that comes through your grace, God. Not my will be done, but yours be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, thank you for every life in this room and every life that is listening live, Lord. We thank you so much for what you have in store for these people, for these women of God that come to seek your face, to know you. To know you and the power of the cross in their life. Paul said, oh, that I may know you and the power of the cross and what it brings through what the resurrection did. Father, we are here because we want to know you more. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty, precious name. Amen. Amen. Just give the Lord a clap. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. God is so good, and he is so good to us, ladies. Ooh, Mike. Ooh. I like that. I won't use it. I know. I'm a little bit loud. I don't need it. How are y'all doing this morning? Okay. Kind of iffy. Is it hard to get up this morning and get going and kind of be woo? Yeah? Well, it's good to see you. Just so you know that you all look ravishing and beautiful this morning. Everyone looks so amazing when you come to Bible study. I'm just blown away by the beauty that's in this room. Today we are in Ruth 2. Whoop! We're excited. Ruth 1 was very exciting, was it not? Wasn't it exciting to kind of see this journey beginning and the things that God taught us? You like my demonstration over here? I worked very hard. It's the field. It's the harvest field. If you know anything about Ruth 2, who did their homework and read Ruth 2, actually? Sweet. Y'all are awesome. Then you know exactly what we're talking about this morning. Ruth 2 has to do with the field. It has to do with Ruth being in the field. And this is the best representation of the field that I have. I thought it was very nice. These are going to be your hay rolls. Your hay rolls. These are your grains sprouting. Yes, I love it. I like to decorate. It's the side thing I like to do in life. But Ruth 2 is where we begin today, and I'm excited. I'm not going to read all of Ruth 2 today like I read last week, all of Ruth 1. I'm just going to read the first five verses, and we're going to do that right now. If you'll just open your Bible to Ruth chapter 2. From last week, we know that Ruth is what? After Judges, before? Very good. Someone's a scholar here. Ruth chapter 2. Did everyone get a study guide this morning? Once again, we thank Carolyn for doing that for us. Weren't they amazing last week? Can y'all give her a clap? I bet her punctuation was just right on, right? Despite what I have been doing lately. I'm so thankful for her. Ruth 2, the title of today's message is When Now Meets Your Character. Oh my goodness. When now meets your character. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. Are you ready? Say amen if you're there. Amen. Verse 1, now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech. I can't say that at all. Elimelech, thank you. A man of standing whose name was Boaz. Isn't that a great name? It's just like, woo, strong. I don't really hear that name very much. I guess people don't name their kids Boaz, but it's a great name, Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, let me go to the field and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. So she went out and began to glean in the field behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. I'm just going to say it like that because that's how it comes out of my mind. All right, ladies, are y'all ready? This study is going to be fun. It's going to be fun today. Sometimes life takes you down just to bring you up the right way. Can anyone testify to that? Sometimes life takes you down so that you can come back up the God way. Amen?
Amen.
But up can't happen until you get down, right? We can live our lives high on mountaintops all the time, where everything is just perfect and amazing and everything is woo, and clouds and kisses and balloons and tiaras and tutus and all those things that are wonderful and red pumps. Just all these things that make life so amazing. But how can we truly know how to be thankful? And how can we truly know what forgiveness and repentance means if we've never actually had to cry out, Abba, Father, help me? How can we truly know what all these things that the Bible teaches us really means if we have never been in a place where we have actually had to cry out to the Abba Father God and ask for his help and hear his voice in return in our lives? How do we know? How do we know how to really, truly worship him when we haven't experienced times in our life when we've actually had to get on our knees and worship him? A little testimony here this morning. About 8 years ago, I went through an ectopic pregnancy. A lot of y'all know this, but it was a very, 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 very physically painful thing in my life. There was a lot of repercussions from it that I went through. My body kind of reacted from it a couple months after that, and I kind of went through a season where I was like, man, this is not fun. This is just not fun. These things I'm walking through as a young woman is not fun. I can't believe that I'm having to walk through this stuff. But as I began to really press into God, and I really didn't know where to turn at the time, except for I knew that God had a plan. Because I'd been taught that God had a plan, and I knew he loved me. And I knew he had something for me. And if he had actually had me survive these four blood transfusions and this almost dying on the hospital bed, then I knew he had a plan for me. Something was for me. And so I began to seek him and his character and the Bible and the Word of God and just want to know who he was. Because I didn't know this plan unless I knew who he was. And I remember driving in my car, just driving one morning, just worshiping and singing his praise. And I'm sure I've mentioned this story before. But I remember all of a sudden the presence of God came into my car. I don't know about y'all, but do y'all ever experience the presence of God in your car more than any place else?
Yes.
Like, I for real, I call it my chariot of fire because I feel like I seriously go up to heaven in my car a lot. He just seems to minister to me in that place. I don't know if it's because we're still enough. We're in one place. We're not running around our house like with our heads cut off trying to do everything we need to do. But I'm in my chariot of fire. And all of a sudden, the Lord just goes, poof. He just shows up. And he shows me, and I felt it because I could just feel this presence around me. And it was a good, like, just awesome, kind of like the presence when you read about in the Bible, when an angel of the Lord shows up and all you want to do is get on your face, that kind of feeling. That's what I had. All I wanted to do in the car, even though that was not very safe, I needed to keep my eyes on the road, right? I wanted to get on my face in the car because I felt his presence. And all of a sudden I saw this giant hill. And then he showed me this deep valley and he spoke very clearly. And he says, Amanda, I have taken you through the lowest of the low, just so you know what it's like to worship me on the mountain top. And at that time, when he told me that, I truly didn't understand the whole grasp on it because I was in the valley. And I knew what the valley was because I was in it. But now that God has redeemed it and brought so much from it, when I stand back there with my arms raised, it's not to show that I'm the Bible study leader and this is how you praise God. It's because I stand in awe of who He is and what He has done in my life. And I truly can testify that He is good, and I know how to worship Him now because of the valley time in my life. Come on, ladies, you got to know what it means. You got to know what it means when you've had to shout at Jericho's walls 7 times and they haven't fallen, and you finally get to see them crumble. You need to know what it means to shout when you see those things crumbling in your life. Then on the other side, you can just stand there and worship and say, yes, 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 I saw it happen. I saw the walls fall in my life. Man. Sometimes life takes you down so you know what it means to truly, truly be on a mountaintop. Amen. I know that relates to someone here. I want to explain this a little bit further. When you're standing up and you jump, come on, ladies, just go with me here. Demonstration. When you're standing up like this and you jump, do I go anywhere? A little bit. There's like a little bit of height, right? Something happens. There's a little bow. But when you get down, oh, come on. My squat ladies know this. When you get down, we're talking when you get down. This is a good squat, right? When you get down is truly where you attain height. Come on, ladies. The Lord gave me this demonstration, and it met me somewhere. I hope it met you. It's when you get down and then you jump up that you attain height in your life that you would never attain if you continued to stand. Come on, somewhere, I need an amen right there. Where's my ameners? Let me tell you something about the power in height. The power in height is in how low you get. The power in height in your life is in how low you get. And when you say, well, what does that mean to get low? Well, good, I'm glad you're with me this morning. I'm going to explain that. Through Ruth. Ruth came to a place in her life where she had to get low. She had to get low just to get what she needed. She had to come to a place in her life where the only option was to get down and do things that she had never done before. She came to a place in her life in verse 2 where she asked to pick the leftovers for provision in her life. Come on, ladies. She was going to the field. Now, the field can be a very uncomfortable place if you've never been there before. The field can be a very uncomfortable place because, first of all, she's going out there alone. Second of all, she's going out there coming out under the wing of her mother-in-law, who she has been under for quite some time. This woman that she was never going to leave. She says, I gotta go do something in order for us to survive. So she heads out to the field, the place of discomfort, the place where she would be alone, the place where she would have to pick the leftovers. How hard is it to always live second? Come on, let's just go here for a minute. This is a tough place. To live in a society where you're always coming up second, where you're always, you know, the leftovers. Who here ever had to get your, you know, the relatives' clothes growing up? You know, every time I talk to someone, I have this lady that comes to my house, and she's so awesome. She tells me all the time, oh, growing up, I never got anything new. I always got my cousin's leftovers. And I could tell it was a little place of bitterness. Like, you could just see it. Because after how many years, she's still talking about it. I got the leftovers. So I know getting the leftovers in life is a place sometimes that's not fun. Sometimes you want the new sparkly dress, right? And the new boots, right? Sometimes you want that. But here is Ruth in the field, and she's asking for just the leftovers. just the leftovers. She says, let's read it one more time. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Wow. That's getting down right there. That's a full squat. She's really, really humbling herself, because in her mind, the only provision that she was about to get was going to come from her getting down. How many of us miss our fields in life because we are not willing to get down? To get down. We always want to go in and serve at the head, and we miss these amazing opportunities and fields because we don't head into the workplace or the field and say, where can I just get the leftovers here this morning? What if we, this is a great question, what if we viewed life like this? What if we viewed being low in a spot, that the starting point for getting up when we're in a place that's so low is getting down? What if we viewed life like this? When you're in a place, I don't know where you are in your life right now. You could be like, I'm in this huge mountaintop right now. Or you could be like, I'm in a valley right now. What if you viewed that valley time as a place of this, the only way I can get up, the only way I can get provision is if I get down and humble myself? What if we viewed life like this? What if God had us get down for provision? What I love about this character and the significance about Ruth and what she's doing, her character and action, she goes out with a mind, if I just. What if we went out with a mentality and a mind that says, if I just, instead of I deserve, I want, I need? What if we went out and said, if I just humble myself, then maybe I can grab some provision in my life? We so want to own the field before we work it. We want the drive-through. We want to just own it. But Ruth says, let me just pick over the leftovers. She says, I am a servant. Let me start at the bottom. But little did she know what starting at the bottom actually meant in her journey. Come on, if you know the whole story, you can really see some beauty in this place. She didn't know that starting on the bottom would one day get her to a place where she would be looking down from the top. Someone go with me this morning. Jesus says the least shall be the greatest. He claims that the last shall be first. There's something about that. There's something about approaching life with humbleness in character and saying, please allow me to serve. Please, God, show me the leftovers. Show me where to start. Show me where some things have dropped that maybe could be some provision for my life. Show me, Lord, help me to keep my focus on what it is that you have for me. Because I humble myself in this place. I know you've got good for me. God is so good. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he's taking you. What Ruth didn't realize, God takes her to a place where her humility would then bring her ownership. Because listen to verse 3. So she went out and began to glean in the field behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz. Wow. I love when God pulls in your life, as it turned out, moments. As it turned out, lo and behold, she found herself picking leftovers in a relative's field, a kinsman redeemer. Come on. She just found out that she is in the right place. Oh, to be in the right place at the right time, serving with humility. Oh, ladies, I can't emphasize that enough as a prayer. Lord, put me in the right place at the right time and help me to be serving in that place with humility. Help me. I love when God pulls that. Little did I know when I began to humble myself and study and read and just desire more of the Word of God in my life and just desire to know who God was, that one day I would be teaching the Word. As it turned out, oh my goodness, as it turned out, I'm just telling you guys, this is real stuff. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It's real life. As it turned out, Michelle's not here this morning, but when she spent a lot of years just studying health and fitness for her own well-being and just decided to yearn to do the right thing for her body, that one day she would be training people. As it turned out. As it turned out, that another friend, Jill, who just began to really deal with some dark spiritual things in her own life that she knew in her life that she had to get rid of, and she began to really pick up the leftovers in her life, that one day she would be casting out dark forces in other people. As it turned out. Come on, ladies. When God's ready, He wants to show you, as it turned out, in the place that you're at right now, it might be low, you might be having to dig, you might be having to pick up the leftovers, and it's not fun, I know it, it's not fun to be second best, but God is getting ready to take you to a place where, as it turns out, woo, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, He is here, and He is ministering. Wow, God's plans are higher. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts and our ways. And I'm sure that there are people here that could stand up and testify, as it turned out, moments in their own life. Places where they had to scramble on their knees. But now God is showing them that they're own in that place. They're own in that place. Look at verse 4 and 6. Just then, Boaz arrived. Boaz arrived from Bethlehem, and he greeted the harvesters. He says, "The Lord be with you." Wouldn't that be amazing if all hot guys said that? Could you imagine? Hello, woman of the Lord. Hello, woman of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Could you imagine if men actually greeted us that way? How amazing would that be? Okay, going on, side note. "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi." This is good stuff, ladies. So here we are. Here we are. We've got Ruth in the field picking up the leftovers. And here comes Boaz. Woo, the kinsman redeemer. Come on, ladies. Here he comes. He comes walking up out of the field. Y'all love it. Y'all love it. Here he comes. He's walking out of the field. Come on, ladies. This is how I picture Boaz. This is my husband. That is my husband. Yes, he's very good looking. He works out. I would tell y'all a super funny story right now, but because we're live and this is going on the podcast, I'm going to eliminate that story. But there's a funny story with this poster. Here comes Boaz up out of the field. Here he comes greeting people, and here is Ruth. Here is Ruth in humility. Don't you love knowing that you're doing the right thing when the right person walks in? Come on, let's go somewhere with this. Isn't it feel good to know when you're at the workplace and you're doing the right thing and you're like, woo! Doing the right thing, and all of a sudden the boss comes in and you're like so excited because you're doing the right thing and you're not having to hide or beep or pretend like, oh let me call, oh yes, we'll settle that deal tomorrow, when you've been talking to your BFF. You know, come on, you know what I'm talking about. Like, it's good to be doing the right thing when the right person walks in and takes notice. But let me give you a little hint. God is always watching, and He is the one that you want to take notice of your life. When I started figuring out that I was not working for man, and that I started believing and knowing that really, truly, I was working for God, and that He took notice, I delighted in no matter what I was doing, I was doing it with my best ability because I knew He was the rewarder of all good things. Just like Ruth didn't realize where she was or what she was doing or who would show up out of the field to take notice of her. She's doing the right thing at the right time. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." Okay, so you have to realize that the Moabitess who came back from Moab was Naomi. The foreman replied. So the foremen are speaking. Verse 7, she said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. All right. The workers tell Boaz, she went into the field and has worked steadily. Work steadily is the word that you want to underline. Come on, ladies. Our character is not for a moment, it's a lifetime. Worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. When you humble yourself, you don't just get down for a second. No, God doesn't want to know that you can just bend your knees for a second, because anyone can do that. Even the heathen can bend their knees and humble themselves for a second. But to maintain an attitude of the heart of humility in life, to have a heart of humbleness wherever you go in life, that is the attribute and the attitude that God is after. Because then He can come and lift you up your physical knees and set you in a place of royalty and, as it turned out, an ownership, because your heart is still picking up the grains. It's still saying, "Wherever you need me, God, whatever you need me to do." We can't get so high and lofty and think that we've made it. We have to continually maintain an attitude of humility. This is interesting. Yesterday I experienced a story. Someone told me a story of a man in leadership who very anointed, doing amazing things for God, and God's power was upon him, and he was a great minister, and recently just fell apart, had an affair, left his wife. Just stuff that you're like, what in the world? Like, how does this happen? How can you be so full of God, you know? So full of the Bible, so full of His Word, so anointed to do what He's called you to do, been in some low places, experienced some high places, and just fall apart? Like, what happens? And I struggled with this yesterday. As I heard the story, I thought, what, Lord, what happens to us in this place? Why do so many great leaders fall? What is it? And I felt the Holy Spirit quicken my heart while I was in the shower. He's so good in the shower too. Ministers there. Ministers there too. Quicken me in the shower and say, because when you become a leader, your mentality can never say, man, I'm so strong. Come on. Whatever it is that God has anointed and put ownership into your hand over, don't ever sit there and say, man, I'm strong. Nothing can get me down. Because that is when you open the door for the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. You never get to a place where you, yourself, and I are so strong that you don't ever need to have an attitude and action of humility constantly saying, God, I can't get on this stage without you. God, I can't minister your word without you. God, I can't lay hands on the sick and see them delivered and transformed without you. As you grow into your ownership, always remember that you are strong only with Christ. You don't ever come to a place where something on your own is attainable. You always need Him. You always need Him. You always got to maintain that attitude of humility in the heart. Because why is this important? Because people are watching you. I'm going to say it again. Why is this important? Because people are watching you. And as I mentioned earlier, the owner of the field is watching you. Who is the owner of this field ultimately? God. And we know that Boaz is a foreshadowing of Jesus as being the kinsman redeemer who buys us, who sees us, that takes notice of our humility and our low state, and he transforms us and he brings us into ownership, into family of the kingdom. We know that that's a foreshadowing, but it just goes to show you that the bigger picture here is God owns the field and he is watching you. And he determines and he gives and he taketh away. He owns the field. People are watching you. Just like we just read in verse 7 that the men, the harvesters, said, Boaz, look, she's been working steadily all day long. They were watching her so much that they knew when she took a short break. Oh, wait a minute. She did. She took a short break and got some water. I mean, they are watching her like a hawk. They are watching her. Rewards come when you work that thing out for more than a day. Rewards come when you work that thing out for a lifetime. For a lifetime. Look at verse 23. I'm just skipping ahead just real quickly. It says, so Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished. She stayed for the entire harvest. She worked it out till the end. She worked it out in humility to the end. Rewards come when you think of others more highly than yourself. Rewards come when you embrace getting to instead of having to in life. She didn't say, oh, I have to go glean in the field. Oh, I have to pick up the leftover barley. She says, I get to go out and pick up the leftovers. I'm so excited. I hope I find favor in somebody's eyes because I get to go out and get some provision today. I get to humble myself and get on my knees. Anytime God gives you a second chance at humility, thank him for him. Thank him for the leftovers. Thank him for the time that you get to spend on your knees and just learn from what it is he's bringing you. Come on, ladies. This is exciting stuff. When you get a second chance at life, like Ruth just gives, get down. Get down. Get down with an attitude of humility today. Get down and eat some barley. God's got good things in store. You get to. This morning, I walked in here this morning, and none of the chairs had been set up, which is totally fine. But of course, my flesh was like, you know, why aren't the chairs set up? You know? But then I remembered the study. And come on. Jonah had to go to the belly of the fish before he got to preach to the sinners. Not calling y'all sinners. And I said, I'm going to put this lesson into practice right now. And I said, I get to put the chairs up. I get to load them up. Thank you, Lord, that I have health to put the chairs up this morning. Thank you that there are people that are going to show up here this morning to sit in them. Thank you, God, that there are people hungry for your word that want to come. Thank you for this opportunity to use my hands and my feet to open up the chairs. And as I began to do that, the blessing of the Lord came. I was excited instead of... Sometimes it's just the little things, ladies. It doesn't have to be huge. Sometimes it's just the little places where God is calling you to say, I get to be a mom today. I get to pick up my kids from school today. I get to sit in that long carpool line and listen to Amanda's podcast over and over again. I get to have this time alone to pray for my friend who's dealing with something really difficult. I get to speak life to my husband and lay hands on him if he needs me to. I get to serve the body of Christ with humility. Come on, tell your friend, get in the field and get down. Come on, tug him. Get in the field and get down. get in the field and get down. We've got to get in the field, and we need to encourage one another in this area of life, especially when life has got you down at certain places. If you want to get up the God way, get down. Get down. Verse 11, look at this. Boaz replied, I have been told, I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. I love this. So Boaz has been told of Ruth's character prior to even seeing her humbling herself in the field. Because humility started in chapter 1 when she decided to make the change from past to future. Come on, God starts rewarding you right off. He starts giving you new things. He starts putting words in people's mouths. He starts telling people that you need in your life to bring provision and protection in your life. He starts giving, he starts planting little seeds in people's life as you continue to make the choice to walk away from past and familiarity and walk into heritage, which is your future. He starts doing things for you right then and there. He had been told all about what Ruth had done. I want to ask you this morning, what have you done good since troubles hit you? What have you done good since trouble has hit your life? Did you go forward or did you go backward? What did you cling to? And this just goes back to Ruth chapter 1 last week. When did life take you down and you started serving at that place? I don't know about you, but a servant serves on their knees. I don't know where we got the mentality thinking that we can start serving at the head table. Anytime anyone came to Jesus to serve him, they got on their knees and wept. And they got to the lowest place they could get, which are his feet, and just wept and wept and served and washed. And then God took his hand and he lifted him up to their feet and said, you will be remembered wherever the gospel is preached because of your acts of humility. Come on, ladies. Everywhere you read where someone gets down and humbles himself, they have a story that is still taught 2,000 years later. They are remembered for what they did and their acts of humility. There is a process of servanthood. But it is a journey like what Ruth encountered. And you don't start going out owning the field. You start gleaning it. Let me say it again. You don't start owning the field. You start by gleaning it. Gleaning it. Working it. Humbling yourself down in it. And then God lifts you up. He takes you to new places. Look at verse 15. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks from her, for her, from the bundles, and leave them for her to pick up. And don't rebuke her. Okay, so here we have Ruth just trying to pick over the leftover grains. Now, the stalks were the main gig, right? The stalks were the good. Well, that was the good stuff. That was like the meat. And she's picking up the little leftovers. But Boaz tells her workers, hey, go ahead and drop some stalks for her. And don't rebuke her. Let her just pick them up and think that she just found them, right? Right? Ooh, I get so excited. I love that as your character gets noticed, it is rewarded, and God all of a sudden starts dropping stalks in your lap, in your pathway, and you can't say with your own mouth how the goodness of God has happened in your life. All you can say is that I was walking in humility, following God's path, and lo and behold, there was a stalk in my way. Lo and behold, I wasn't picking over leftovers anymore. He had a stalk for me. There is a stalk. All of a sudden, you're not getting the leftovers. God's dropping stalks in your life. Quick testimony. Some of y'all know that we moved in November to a local area right here, which is such a blessing because I am now in a stage in my life where I'm traveling a lot with kids and Bible study and different things and work and living as far as way we did. It was very difficult. There was a lot of driving. And God had us far away for a reason for the last 8 years. I always say he took us to the desert to humble us, which is what he did. But I guess it was in September, late September, middle September, God had kind of put it on both me and my husband's heart that maybe we should put our house on the market. We knew eventually we would have to because we had a special thing going on with Smithson Valley Middle School where our son could attend there even though he was not supposed to. Like, we had a, I don't know what it's called, a special thing from the principal saying he could. He had to be authorized and all that. So we knew eventually we would have to move. Eventually, it would have to happen because we couldn't ask for that every single year. So just in humility, we put our house on the market and just, you know, believed that God was good. And that was right in the middle of fall Bible study. It was crazy. I was teaching fall Bible study. I had my house on the market, which I don't know if you've ever had that before. It's busy because you're constantly have to leave your house spotless. And when you have two kids and you work and you teach Bible study and your husband leaves really early in the morning, so he can't really help you a lot get the house ready. Woo, it was a lot. By God's grace, we got through that. Our house sold all of a sudden really fast. We were like, oh, okay, this is crazy. All right, God, I guess you had this in store. We didn't know where we were going to go. We thought maybe we would rent. We didn't know. We just, there wasn't much on the market. We really didn't know. But all of a sudden, this house we saw on in the internet, we just thought, oh, well, let's just go look at this one. It'd been on the market for a long time. So they kept reducing the price. And we kept thinking, why has this house been on the market so long? It's beautiful. Like, what's wrong with it? So we go and we go look at it, and we're like, whoa, I can't believe this, you know? And the whole time, I'm just like in a blur. Like, I tell people the story, and I still cannot say with words exactly how it all happened. It just happened. And all I can relate to is say that we got the house. God gave it to us. We got the house for $20,000 under the tax price. Ladies, that doesn't happen in the real estate world, if you know. Under what it appraised for. $20,000 under that. We do not know how God did it. But all I can say is that he dropped a stalk in our way. That's all I can say. Because I don't know how it happened, and I don't know how we had the money to get this house. But all of a sudden, we were gleaning in the fields, and God dropped a stalk. And he is good, because we sit in this house, and we still don't even know how we're there. Except for we know that it's all God. And it's all him. And it's him that pours out and gives. It's him. He is the one. Verse 22, look at this. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." The place of humility becomes the place of not only provision, but it also becomes the place of protection, ladies. There are a lot of fields that you can go in, but some of those fields are dangerous. Some of those fields don't have the covering of the kinsman redeemer. Come on. Go into the field that God has authorized for you. Go into his field that he has for you. Because in that place, not only will it provide for you what you need, it will protect you from attacks of the enemy in your life. We keep praying sometimes for the Boaz field. Lord, put me there. Have you ever found yourself, if you really studied this, Lord, put me in the Boaz field. Take me to the Boaz field. Lord, you've got a Boaz for me. If you're single, you know, we pray that. Lord, bring my Boaz. bring my Boaz coming out of the field. Yeah. You know, or take me to Boaz field where the provision is. You've got that. And we keep asking, Lord, take me to the job. Take me to the house. Take me to the car. Take me to the relationship and the place. Take me to that place. But really, from this story, what should we be praying for? God, take me to humility and humbleness. Because when you get down, all of a sudden, you're there. You're there. Ruth didn't go asking, where is Boaz's field? I only want to glean in his field. No. She went with, if I can just pick up the leftovers. And look what God brought her. Look what God had for her. Naomi says this place is protection. Other places could be harmful. Once again, oh, to be in the right field at the right time, doing the right thing. Is that a prayer to pray? God, put me in the right field at the right time, but most importantly, have me doing the right thing. Help me have the attitude of humility and humbleness in my life. I love that getting down wins. I love it. There is no other way to get up high and reach an attainable height that you want to reach unless you really get down. I love that getting down wins. It's uncomfortable. It's not fun. It hurts. It makes your thighs sore. Makes it hurt to do things. But it brings such strength in your life. I bet Ruth looked back after owning this land on the days when she tended it and thought, wow, wow, wow. It taught me so much to glean that field because now I know how to manage it. Now I know how to take control of it. Now I know when to do things and how to do things. Now I know how to maintain an attitude of humility and leadership. Because if I hold on to Jesus' hand, nothing is impossible. Father, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for this word. I thank you for this word on character. Father, this is a hard topic. It is, Lord, because our pride just goes, And we live in a world that says, I, me, all about me, what you want, what you need, what you have, Father. And it's everywhere and it's all over the place. And so we come around with this attitude of pride. But Father, we come into your presence so that we can know who we truly are. We are a desperate people and desperate of a sovereign, graceful God. We cannot do anything without you. We need you in all things, God. And we thank you so much. Lord, put us in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, which is humility, Lord. Help us not to miss ownership because we couldn't get down and pick up the leftovers. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for providing the stalks. But thank you for teaching me in the picking up of the leftovers how to truly worship you when you give that stalk. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.